Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is something that you and I need to create for ourselves so that we radiate into the world with a real lot of spark and upliftment. Creating our reality is not always the easiest thing in the world, since we're so programmed by old thoughts and feelings, by the ambitions, the frustrations, the controls, and the fears of the collective, whether it's just your small collective, your family of origin, your lineage, your cellular structure, or your own personal experiences. It's really interesting. And what Dwal Kuhl calls it is the tyranny of the subconscious mind. We're programmed in such a way as we keep running old programs and running into limitations and all of that. And it's so interesting. We can change that by changing the energy. And my name is Veronica Entwistle, as most of you know, and I love doing energy counseling and energy shifting work with you so that you can create for yourselves a much more high-frequency life, and you can call forth the kinds of experiences that you want. You can call forth success. I'm here in L.A. I usually live up in Bellingham, Washington, and I'm here in L.A. visiting my stepdaughter and also making plans to do television and learning how to do it from some of the little wizards that I know down here. It's really exciting. And I went off and had an appointment, a personal appointment with Bashar. Bashar is a channeled hybrid, an alien-human combination from the future who comes in through Daryl Anka, and he's been teaching, I think, since the late 80s. It's really interesting. So, of course, when I went in to ask him, I asked about, when we do the sacred geometrics, I always ask to see myself being consciously multidimensional. I see, hear, smell, feel, and all that kind of Claire stuff that you hear about on BBS radio quite a bit from other people. But I would really like to be able to open farther and see multidimensionally at the drop of a hat, see what our universal selves are doing at the same time as our, you know, if we're having concurrent realities, to be able to see those and so on. And so I asked Bashar, and there was a really wonderful thing that he said, which was, if you, and this is really simplistic, that's why it made me laugh and I loved it so much. And he said, you know, if you're in a situation and you want to create another situation, say I want to create television and I'm afraid or something simplistic like that, and you drop inside and really find the passion for what you want to do. And he says, that's how you shift dimensions, because then you're creating a self and a reality that has moved out of that fear space. Really interesting, a very simplistic way to do it. So I encourage yourself and myself to go in and find the passion of what it is you want to do and watch your conscious radiance perk up and move into aligning you with other things. So I'm working with, I mean, other things like other possibilities. So whilst I'm here, I've been undergoing a shoot to create my own reel so I can market my television show, part of the process here. And a wonderful fellow named Mark is doing the shoot, and he calls his camera his time machine, because we were sort of joking about how, you know, the observer or the perceiver, it's the way we perceive life, also has a huge impact on what happens in life. So the perceiver or the observer both actually make an impact on your world. So how people see you, how we see each other, impacts one another's future as well. We could say it impacts our passion, but I'd want to work on that a little bit to really feel it. So anyway, he calls his camera his time machine, because he says, look, it takes a shot of you, the way you have been, the way you are to this moment, but that is immediately the past, isn't it? I love that. That sort of, so here I've got the Bashar stuff and the living in passion and the radiance by design, and then talking to Mark and him talking about his camera as a time machine. And then I remembered something, which was I had a teenage daughter who had a whole bunch of woes and cares and all that. And I had a picture of her from high school, and it made her, I felt very sad when I looked at the picture, like she was very sad. But interestingly enough, and this is connected, this is going to sound like a non sequitur, but it really isn't, okay? Interestingly enough, when Bob and I moved into our place in Bellingham and I set up the photo, I looked at it and it was all shiny and happy. I went, I said to Bob, does that look like my daughter? He goes, she looks a lot happier. So I've found through the years that that's not the only picture I have, but I have a number of pictures that reveal in the moment, in each moment, what the emotional state of the person in the picture is. So we talk about it being the past frozen in time, but I have noticed that our pictures, of course, are kind of a they're holographic, or they're an energy portrayal, aren't they? And so the energy actually peeks through some pictures. I haven't experienced that with all pictures, but I have experienced it with some special pictures. So there's a whole thumbnail of how different little reflections of how we create our reality. And it's all about energy, focus, perception, intention, and love, and experiencing the transcendent nature of our crazy, goofy reality. And tonight we're going to talk about that kind of thing. We're going to talk to you about what's going on in your world. We're going to talk about Japan, what's going on there. We're going to do our sacred geometric meditations, and we're going to have an impact. I've done some workshops here, some gatherings, and in them, when we do the sacred geometrics, people are very, very startled about how empowered they feel in terms of having a being able to participate in what's going on, being of service in what's going on in Japan, and how to help go in there on a higher level, in a different dimensional level, and infuse either peace, harmony, healing, love, support, whatever it is we've decided is going to be our shtick for being of support over there. So you see, we have an awful lot to talk about, and I haven't been able to get hold of her today, but I'm thinking that Deb O'Connor is going to come in at 7:30 with her astrological report. I sure hope I'm right. I just haven't found her yet. Since I came to L.A., it's been a bit disjointed, so I'm not staying as on top of my connections as I have been in the past. All right, let's get to work on our sacred geometrics. Take a deep breath, or two of them. Another one. Now, above your head, about 2 miles, call in a golden ball. Get it way up there, okay? And behind, below your spine, another golden ball, and drop a filament, a gold filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. Now remember, you're on the filament. It's like a string running through you. And you can feel it, actually. Okay, and then around you, drop it from the upper golden ball to about waist height, maybe 30 feet out. Drop a pyramid, a gold pyramid, four-sided. And now we're going to do the same thing, only upside down. From the lower golden ball, expand a golden pyramid up to meet point to point your first pyramid. So you have an eight-sided figure called an octahedron, and you're in it. Remember, you've got the filament of light running through your spine. And now all around it, create a crystal ball, and the outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your eight-sided double pyramid figure. Okay, now inside of your crystal ball, there you are, and all around you, create a three-dimensional Star of David. So you're in a star. Twinkle, twinkle. Now spin and spin and spin in your star. And as you do, take a look at the magical screen in front of you. And in the first screen, we're going to create little movies, as you know. Most of you know this. This is the routine that we do most weeks. Create little movies about what it is you want to experience in life. And the first one, I always want to be, as I said before, multidimensional. What is it you're aiming for in this life? Transcendent, I want to be multidimensional and coming from the heart. And get in there and spin and spin and spin. Good. And watch yourself on that screen. I want you to see yourself becoming multidimensional or becoming fully realized or whatever it is you want to become. Good. And when you feel that you're really succeeding, I want you to smile, grin, cheer for yourself, wrap it in light, and move to the next screen, the next movie. And in that movie, we're going to create a project, whatever the project is that we want to create. And again, I'm saying I'm doing my television shows. And I'm seeing all the pieces come together. Good. To make all these things work, that means getting my reel done and all the helpers. I've had so many helpers, fun people, helpful people, experienced people. See them all around. See the pieces coming together. See the shows beginning to run. You might want to create home and family, relationship, a book, clothing, hamburgers. It doesn't matter. See yourself creating that and see all these resources coming to put your project in place piece after piece after piece. And when it is, see the resources coming together to sustain it, the money, the place, the location, the people, whatever. You see it all being carefully sustained. And then you're happy, you smile, and you wrap it in light, and you release it. And now we open the Galactic Healing Center. And the Galactic Healing Center is a very interesting place where you have a healing table, a beautiful, clean healing table, and it's surrounded by your invisible healing team. And the first person that comes into your healing table for help is you. So you lie down on the table. And maybe you've got this or that, sore leg, sore ear, whatever. Whatever it is you've got, you tell them. Otherwise, they'll tell you what it is you need. That's it. And now they're going to, you see the healing beings working on you? And what are they doing? Pulling things out, threading things through. That's it. And see if you can feel it in your body when they do that. And keep the energy going. Keep it going. And I always see somebody pulling and pushing at these little fields that are stuck inside of me, and I feel better and better. When you feel really good, wrap it in light, wrap that whole scenario in light, move it to the side. Now set up a fresh table, and remember your team is magical. They can replicate themselves, see them replicating themselves around the fresh table, and bring in somebody that you know needs healing. Bring that person in to lay on the table. Good. And then have the team work on that person. Who have you got? I've got a little person, a little boy, who's going through a kind of depression. And have him lay on that table. And he's getting separated or distanced from people. And see the team, and they're working on his head. And on his heart. Good. And they're pulling things out. This little boy can't think straight because he's feeling really badly about things. Mm-hmm. And they're pulling energies out of his head. Good. Good work. And then they do it until the little boy seems to be feeling, yeah, that's it. And he seems to be feeling an awful lot better. And then we wrap it in light and move that to the side. And then we have another person who comes in who has, looks like it's an ovarian cancer, a lot of pain. You bring in anybody you want. And we'll have the team work on this person, bringing out the deep hidden issues that have created that situation inside. Now, this person is someone who, a part of her healing is waking up to a new level of self-creation. That's it. And they're pulling and pushing fields. And who's on your team, or who's in your healing team, and who's on your table? And as we watch them pull, I see them pulling long streams of things out of my client here and moving energies all around her so that she has almost an exceptional field of protective energy around her whole body as she allows these old emotions up and through. And now that I see that that's very ongoing, I'll wrap that in light and move it to the side. And now we'll open our Galactic Healing Center and bring in the team with so many levels of consciousness that each of them represents. So we have an enormous, enormous coalescence of consciousness and beings around the table on which we put Japan. Yes. And now we see, the first thing I want to see is we ask them for help. And I want to see them gather in the radiation so that it doesn't have to keep spreading like it is. Gather it in. And the other thing they can do is raise the energy, change the energy, change the reality. And as they move energy through, the radiation can change. They're showing that there's still something very deep that's still extremely dangerous in Japan. So we see them enclosing or containing this problem and helping the people be contained in kind of membranes of light and protection, people feeling love and support. And I think the other thing is that I want to ask for the awakening on our planet that nuclear stuff isn't actually very helpful because it's so dire in when it comes apart. Yeah, that's it. And feel yourself going in and maybe soothing people or helping them or working with beings who have left and can't find their way. Are losing it because of loss of family. That's it. Good. And keep asking for protection and for light, and have the beings of consciousness keep shining and radiating higher light on all of those people. Surround that area with huge light. And let's wrap that in light, the whole scenario, and ask these, our healing team, to maintain vigilance, love, and protection for these people. Let's wrap it in light, move it to the side. And now let's do one more. Let's bring in Livia. Let's bring in Livia, and let's send, let's put Livia on the table and have more of the team with their levels and layers and layers and layers of consciousness and love and wisdom around Livia. And also all of the people that are involved in the political, what would we call it, the political intrigue around Livia. And that's the idea. And so that there are many, many individuals that are even from America and so on that have a lot to do with the political situation. So we're asking the team, and I'm saying the teams now, to be a part of moving that consciousness. Mm-hmm. And sending love, nurturing, respect, honesty, and support for the evolution of those people, and all people, really. Good, and we just wrap it in light, wrap it in light, wrap it in light, over and over and over again. You can feel it, can't you? It's almost palpable. And now shift that to the side. Okay, and now the next thing we're going to do before we close off the Galactic Healing Center is we're going to reach up and we're going to call in frequencies of harmony, transformation, and healing from the universe call it in. To me, they're kind of a salmony pink, but very electrical looking. They're very beautiful. Talk about alternative energy. Bring it through the hands, right down through the top of your head, out your heart. Sorry, I said start with the hands, but bring it up through the top of your head, down your body, out your heart, out your arms and your hands, and then send to each of the hot spots on our planet, each of the spots that show where there's danger, where people are very sick, where greed has taken over, where there's war costing so much, people, places, and things, money, and so on. Where there's war, there are better ways for us to share there. And where there's earthquakes, and where there's radiation, and where there's, as I already said, sickness, and see that beautiful light touching all those areas, because we are one. We are one. And as you do, just finally cover the whole world in this pink light, the whole globe. In this pink light and have it move round and round and round and round and bring it back into your hands and into your heart. Good. And back up through your body out into the great central sun. And now I want you to go, jump back into your, close off the Galactic Healing Center, jump back into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. Just spin and spin and spin and then come back into this room with me. Now, I don't have the numbers. I'd love you to call in and tell me what's going on in your world. Are you having a little bit of chaos in your world? There's been so much, as Deb explained to us, there's so much, and other astrologers as well. There's so much out there that's called opposition, right? And the opposition is six planets that have popped into Aries, and they're opposed by, I think, Mars. I don't know if I have it all right. I know Saturn's in Libra, and it's squaring them all. And we just turned Pluto retrograde, and it's apparently making it hard for things to work. So I don't know what your experience has been, but my experience has been absolutely crazy with things that are working really well and magical and other things that aren't working at all. I had all kinds of crazy things happen as I traveled down here. So what's going on in your world? Hopefully Deb O'Connor is going to be talking to us very, very shortly. And I hope so. Anyway, we're going to see. And if not, we're just going to talk to one another. So call in with questions about what's going on in your life. I see somebody out there's got really, really sore, shaky legs, and I want to wake my finger at you and say, you know what? You're working too hard. She's a woman. I think she's older and maybe in her 50s. She's working too hard, and she's not doing any fitness, and she's not eating right. And I see that you're about to embark on a very interesting kind of project. And if you don't feed and fuel yourself, guess what? You're not going to be able to complete your project. So I want to send light to you. Are you there, Deb?
Hi, I am.
Oh, goody! I'm just going to finish. I wasn't sure if you were on at all. But anyway, I just want to finish with this lady because she's shaking, and I want to tell her to eat properly. I can tell this woman the way she's eating. You guys, we have to eat regular protein as you're getting older and you're really putting your energy forward, some of you. You've got to make sure you have regular protein because I just want to shake my finger at this wonderful woman, and we'll do some energy for her after. But she's just taking chances without looking after herself in a time of extreme stress. So you're on the air, Deb. Thank you so much for being there. I tried to get
Hi,
you earlier,
Veronica.
But we didn't find each other, right?
I couldn't understand the phone numbers you were leaving me because the sound was really garbled on the phone. And when you called, I was doing a reading, so I couldn't pick up. But anyway,
it's fine.
Yay!
I'm glad to hear from you.
I'm delighted to be here. And I was thinking maybe we could talk about, there are three things. There's a full moon in Libra this weekend, and there is...
Oh, isn't that all we need?
Yeah, well, I think it is, and then there's this Pluto did go retrograde last weekend, and I'd like to say a little bit about that because I didn't talk about it last week, and then if there's any time left, and there might not be, I was thinking maybe at some point, we still haven't talked about the Chiron in Pisces conjunction with Neptune, which is actually, it's a beautiful connection to the Pluto piece that's just, you know, this retrograde Pluto,
mm-hmm.
is actually really beautifully aligned with some extraordinarily loving divine energy. But what I wanted to say, too, is that when
you know
were
what, that's
earlier,
really good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like it's such quiet energy. No, astrologers don't usually talk about it because it's not causing anybody any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically the thing. I mean, it's the essence of everything that we can't talk about. That's one of the reasons astrologers don't talk about anything in Pisces, and this is Neptune in Pisces, so it's the planet that rules Pisces. It's just moved into it, 3 weeks ago. We don't talk about it a lot because it's really hard to find words for it. You know, we've talked a lot about how there isn't really language for some things, and this is the planet and the sign of the mystery, of the mystical, and of unconditional love and forgiveness. And I see it as this
that's Neptune, because I always heard it was a dreaming.
It is. It's the dream.
Oh, and the illusion.
If people can get really confused with Neptune and become delusional,
mm-hmm.
or with Pisces energy, but that's just the shadow, and we need to focus on the highest notes instead of the shadows with all of these planets and signs. Because really, you know, if each one of us, when we're in balance, we're working Neptune the way Neptune is. Neptune is basically the archetype for the divine heart. The divine heart is all about ultimate compassion, unconditional love, tremendous creativity, but so much, remember, compassion, forgiveness, all the things that love really is if it's coming from the divine plane.
Mm.
And yes, there are no boundaries with Neptune and Pisces, so sometimes we get confused and sometimes we get delusional. You know, we just go off on our own little fantasy. A lot of times Neptune and Pisces are associated with addictions because people are longing so for connection with the divinity, with you know, divine light, with a light body, that we sometimes escape into, you know, drugs and alcohol to try to numb ourselves, to try to get more connected when, in fact, we just become less connected. But that's the shadow of all that. But now I want you to let me know when I should get off so that there's plenty of time for your callers.
It's fine.
Because you and I could talk about this all night. But do you want me to say a little something about this full moon?
Yes, please. I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when you got started, when you were talking before I came on, you were talking about the fact that there are now 5 planets in Aries,
mm-hmm.
and the sun is one of them. We've got about another week before the sun leaves Aries. And all of those Aries planets, all of that energy that's about sparking new beginnings and wanting to get things going, all of them, the opposition that you want to remember is to Saturn. Remember that Saturn is like this massive mountain. It's the energy that grounds us in time and space and that stops us cold when we're taking a direction that the universe wants us to stop taking, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just think of Saturn, the great disciplinarian, is basically totally opposing all those planets in Aries. So, and one of those planets is a retrograde Mercury.
Hmm.
And the other thing that Saturn's doing is it's squaring Pluto. And so is Uranus. So
squaring
there's been
Pluto.
A key square. And Pluto is in Capricorn, and it's squaring both Saturn and Uranus. So it's squaring Uranus is in Aries. It's part of those 5 planets over there. We've talked a lot about that Uranus into Aries mm-hmm. transit, so I don't want to bore everybody with that. That's when Uranus went into Aries and we started this new 84-year cycle of a whole new way to understand community and vision and all of that. That's squaring Pluto. And on the other side of Pluto is Saturn squaring Pluto. It's called a T-square because the opposition, if you think about one thing's over here, and 5 things are over here. And the one thing over here is Saturn the mountain. And all the way across the universe from Saturn the mountain are 5 planets in Aries. And at the sort of tip-top of that mountain, squaring both those energies, is Pluto. And Pluto went retrograde on the weekend. And it set, and I don't know anybody that hasn't just had a phenomenally intense week, including me and you.
Mm.
Because Pluto is already intense energy. It's always bringing up the things that bedevil us and we're afraid of and things bubbling up out of our subconscious and secrets being revealed. When it goes retrograde, I mean, holy moly, last weekend especially, things for people were just popping all over the place in a really uncomfortable way. Things that
you mean like not working out or...
Yeah, well, like the emotional trauma that nobody really wants to deal with. For a lot of people, things that had been, they knew at some level that something was wrong, but didn't really want to have to deal with it because it's hard. Mm. And so all of a sudden, last weekend and this week, there's just stuff up for us. It's just like the universe saying, look, flip it on backward. Things are going to come up out of the subconscious that make you afraid,
that make us afraid,
emotionally uncomfortable.
Hmm.
And for some people, you know, some sort of like so-called secrets, things that they just had this sense that there was something off, and all of a sudden they actually know what it is, and they wish they didn't have to know. But it's just a matter of the universe basically saying to us all, everything that you keep talking about, we have to keep cleansing. We have to keep dumping all this shadowy, smoky energy out of ourselves to get out of the way of the light. And the only way to do that is to basically turn around and face these things we're afraid of and not bolt.
Well, so is the full moon helping us?
So the full moon will be in Libra, which is where Saturn is now. So it's going to get out. It's moon's in Virgo tonight, but by Sunday, the moon will be full. And in Libra is the sign of balance and the sign of intimate relationships. So when it's full, the moon too will be opposing those five planets in Aries. So the dynamic there between Aries, which is very independent and wants to understand how to be self-supporting and take a stand for ourselves, our right to be exactly who and what we are at the independent self level, and Libra on the other side of the equation, the moon, will be just longing for connection with another, just to find a peaceful, balanced connection and relationship. So every year when we have the Libra full moon, we have the tension in people's relationships between that hunger for completion through the relationship with another, at the same time that the deeper self knows, because it's the sun that's in Aries, we cannot be in a healthy relationship unless we really understand how to be in a solid relationship with ourselves. That's the Aries thing.
Well, how can you be in a solid relationship with yourself when you're dancing with the Saturn square and the Pluto retrograde?
The Saturn opposition.
Mackerel.
Yeah. Well, the Saturn.
Sorry,
I think one of the things we can do is we can really use our instincts, because that's the Pluto gift. Pluto says, do not try to think your way out of this. Feel your way out of this. What's making you uncomfortable? Feel it. If you have a stomach ache, then focus some light there and realize there's some fear there, and imagine all that fear as this dark, cloudy, smoky energy rising up and out of you and going away. Or if the situation is actual. I mean, I had quite a few clients calling me over the weekend and this week telling me actual things that they found out about their relationships that they really didn't want to know. You know, ones are betrayals.
Hmm.
You know, or things that should have been said that had never been said that were causing a lot of disruption in a passive-aggressive way.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the key here is to knock off the passive-aggressiveness, to tell ourselves the truth about what is, you know, how many of us have been in relationships with another person, either a friend or a lover or even a family member, where there were just things that were not working, but we weren't capable of being emotionally truthful because we didn't want to hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. That would be part of the Libra paradigm.
Hmm.
Don't want to make things unbalanced, you know. Don't want to hurt anybody, but everybody's getting hurt a lot more because the truth isn't just being spoken of and people aren't just working it through. So the piece here is we're always afraid that if we just tell the truth, people won't like us very much. That's a Libra shadow. Libra
right.
wants to be liked, and so it doesn't always say what needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want to rock the boat. And Aries is like, out with it. You know, and this also, by the way, this pisses me off. I'm angry about this. And so there'll be that tension probably. Do I really talk about this? Will they really like me if I talk about this? And then Pluto's in there squaring both sides of this moon, sun.
So what happens? Do then we kind of rush out and talk about it anyway and then hide? And
Yeah. And really, the ticket is with a Libra full moon squaring Pluto and opposing that whole Aries stellium is to learn the only way to create balance is to tell the hard truth.
Yeah.
Pluto truth is to not do it passive aggressively either. Don't sit around and pout. Don't go to another room. Don't storm out of the house and get in your car and drive away. But just literally stay with the difficult conversations. That's what this full moon is about. And that will be where the balance will come.
Okay, so when exactly is the full moon? Because I think I might stay in the basement.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I think I should just stay in the basement for the rest of my life.
Okay, but wait a minute. I know I'm asking two questions at once, but isn't there a lot of push with the Saturn and the Pluto to get our karmic stuff up?
That's what I'm thinking all this is about. Like I said, we're clearing old junk out. And Saturn says, discipline yourselves to do this hard work. That's why it stands there like a mountain. It's like you're not going anywhere until you discipline yourselves to do the hard work. That's Saturn's job, to remind us all of that. And Pluto says, squaring it, the hard work is actually soul work. It's actually, what are you afraid of? What have you buried? Where is the emotional baggage? That's the hard work to get to that. It's so funny because, you know, if Saturn were just floating out there all by itself, we'd say, oh, it just wants us to work hard all the time. But when it's in this relationship with Pluto, we have to pay attention to the kind of hard work it wants of us. Mm-hmm. It is hard, deep, emotional work. And by the way, the full moon, the moon will be full out here on the West Coast at 7:45 on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So in the mountain, mountain states, it'll be 8:45. And then back in the central time, it'll be 9:45. In the eastern time, it'll be 10:45 on Sunday night.
Hmm. You know what? I don't know if you heard, but I was picking somebody, a phantom person, out of the audience just before you called in, and she was feeling weak. I know she was going forward in a project, and she was weak, and I was giving her a little slack because she wasn't eating protein enough and so on.
Yeah, I heard that. That was good.
Yeah, but what's interesting...
I just hit the heart!
what was interesting is you're talking about... the rising sort of karma, the insecurities and so on that are way down deep inside, and that's really what this woman's dealing with. She's trying to step forward, I think, in her late 50s, mid to late 50s, and she's having fragilities where, so I think she's kind of evidence of what you're talking about in a way. She's having fears and weaknesses where she did not expect them at all, and it's all just rising through the astrological stuff or through her vibrational reality right now. And it just occurred to me, her vision.
And what you're talking about, for a lot of people, and this happens to me sometimes, and I'm noticing it with Pluto, is that, you know, you and I have talked a lot about shame. Mm-hmm. Shame is like the number one issue for Pluto. When you think about all these things I keep putting out there, emotional fear patterning, where's the emotional baggage? It's almost always shame related. I'm afraid, I'm so ashamed of this, if I really bring it up and look at it, oh my God, then I'll have to deal with even bigger shame. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the beauty of the Libra moon is it says no, because it's squaring all this. You'll find balance if you bring it up and basically face it down, realizing it's not real. And the thing is, on that other side of the equation, I keep talking about the big five in Aries, one of them is Mars. And Mars is all about courage. And it's also angry sometimes. And I think people are afraid of anger. And I've heard you say, and I've said, that anger is simply energy moving. And if we don't throw it at anybody else, if we just recognize it as anger, that we're mad about something, that helps us to get to what we're afraid of.
Yeah, and it's a really good engine for getting things done, isn't it?
It is. And and one of the things that's a good engine for getting done is noticing what we're angry about, because then we can go deeper into, okay, now why am I angry about that? And where is that coming from? It's like what's beneath the anger. Pluto always wants to take us down underneath what's obvious. Hmm. That's why I was talking about coming out of the subconscious realm. Pluto says, what's down there? Here's what you're manifesting, anger. Or if you're not manifesting anger over here in Aries, you're on the other side of the opposition, and you're over there with Saturn land in Libra working so hard at creating balance that you're basically putting yourself in the ground and you're not creating any balance, because on neither side of that opposition between the Aries and the Libra are you bringing into the equation this Pluto square. If you think about Pluto squaring both sides of that as being an upside-down mountain, mm-hmm. so that you're being taken down, the apex, it's like a triangle where Pluto is down at the bottom. Instead of the triangle having going up like the top of a mountain, it's going mm-hmm. down.
Uh-huh.
That's a good way to remember that it's Pluto that's squaring the two sides. I've taken up way more time than I should have.
You know what? I want to say, well, wait a minute. There's something else that I wanted to talk about. We haven't talked about the Neptune and Pisces, but we don't have time tonight. But it's interesting what you're talking about with it. Pluto goes down, because mm-hmm. I heard some really horrible things about nuclear missiles that blow up underground to blow out mm-hmm. bunkers and stuff today, and I'm absolutely distressed about it. So I wanted to ask you, with Libya, with Japan, with world situations and so on, mm-hmm. and these extreme lineups, can you mm-hmm. give
all? Yeah, it's all Pluto in Capricorn. It started when Pluto went into Capricorn in the fall of 2008, and everything started to tumble. All the institutions, all the Capricorn institutions, banks, governments, universities, everything that has to do with the patriarchy. Pluto went into Capricorn, the sign of the patriarchy, and the industrial military complex. And yeah, a lot of it is still happening underground. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, think about everything that's going on that we don't know about.
Exactly, but we keep getting huge revelations. Talk about the Book of Revelations,
right.
and yet we feel many times powerless to do anything about it.
But I think that's because what we can do about it is to be aware and to work on ourselves. Because I really believe what you teach, which is that we, every thought, every intention, I mean, you teach it, the Buddha taught it, we all know this, that we are putting out energy from our own energetic vibration with every breath, and it's very, very powerful. And the more of us that put this energetic, powerful, peaceful vibration out there, that's the Libra full moon, mm-hmm. we're making shifts all the time. Things are going to continue to be happening underground that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. Things that are happening underground that we don't know about, some of them are going to keep percolating up to the surface, because that's Pluto's job. Here's what's buried, and I'm going after it.
That's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, that's how we begin
it's
to
great.
Find out how we have to really empower our collective, right?
And Pluto squaring Uranus in Aries, which is all about the collective being empowered, and Uranus is also all about things happening unexpectedly. So a lot of unexpected Pluto things are going to keep surfacing mm-hmm. that will continue to make the Uranian community healthier. And I don't think we can expect nirvana right yet, but I think we have to stay really brave.
Well, exactly. I don't think we can expect nirvana, but I do think, I guess what I'm feeling lately is we can't put our head in the sands anymore. I used to avoid the news. Now I'm going, no, you
mm-hmm.
can't do that. We have to be able to stay up on top of what's being revealed and support
right.
one another to be strong and to command power. And all of that.
Absolutely. I think every person that commands power in a way that's shame-free, and then the beautiful meditation that you were doing, I love it when you put everybody in the crystal tetrahedron, and then when you have us wrap all these different countries everywhere, Libya, Afghanistan, everywhere. I think of North Korea. I think of Colombia. I mean, everywhere. I think of, you know, right where I am here in the Bay Area, neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood, to wrap it all up in light.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that's really powerful.
I
personally am not going to be able to figure out where those underground bunkers are, but I can send a lot of light out there.
You betcha, and maybe that will, well, anyway. Well, I really appreciate your call, and this has been very
I apologize to everyone who's trying to call in. Thank you so much, Veronica, for this show.
You don't have to apologize at all. We get good feedback about your reports, and you've helped empower us regarding astrology.
Good.
So bless your heart. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. So that was Deb talking about how, I don't know, I think using what the planets are, I don't know if it's emanating or we're reflecting what their statement is and so on. But anyway, to use the energies that are out there is a good way to empower ourselves. Let's talk about empowerment, because I picked on you, wonderful lady who's in your 50s, who's taking steps forward and not eating properly. And I watched as Deb talked about the rising of karmic issues and so on, how you're having a lot of fears move through. And I want to say to you, we're going to send you light. And for other people who have fears moving through right now, as you step forward, we want to, I understand this lately, is we want to welcome those fears, have them up, because they're the things that keep us from, you know, they're the habitual knee-jerk reactions that prevent us from really stepping forward and expanding, aren't they? So to my lady friend there, who I was giving a little bit of a lecture to, we're just going to send energy to you. We're going to call in some beautiful energy and ask the guides and angels to help us as we send some strong energy out there. Goody, you're on the air just in the nick of time. How are you this evening? Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
Veronica.
You there?
It's Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. How you doing? You sound good tonight.
Off and on. I'm facing down my paper dragons, I call them.
Aha. Uh-huh. Your old fears, too?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have a student who is just, he's a Libra, and he's going through, you know, this, I call an oscillation kind of thing with, you know, years ago I identified him in the Tarot as being the Knight of Swords, and so the Knight of Swords has two sides, two aspects, like everything. And on one side is, you know, he's the savior, you know, he saves maidens, you know, in distress and all that. But on the other side, he's also the kind of a jihad. So, you know, this idea of dark and light, he was going through an awful lot lately, so... But it's kind of interesting to see somebody who has so much energy and so much passion, and I'm talking about not energy like, you know, our standard way, but just luminous, you know, energy.
Oh, great, wonderful.
And he's
young,
been with his mission.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
He's young?
Yeah, and he came in with this mission that he's totally frustrated in, and as I look at him, I'm like, wow, I feel that way too. It's amazing to see that reflected back, you know, and to try to help him, you know, choose every moment to be in a more positive space. I think that's the challenge we all have.
Yeah, and it's really hard sometimes, the choosing. You have to really step out of some blinding feelings, don't you? Yeah.
And you know, what's really funny is that it doesn't seem to get easier, because we always forget that, you know, we kind of get delusioned. The paper dragon, you know, comes up and we think it's outside of us, and get a little tired of going inside all the time. And I think some channels have been kind of expressing that kind of human feeling right now of just, maybe not even human, just knowing we came here to do a task, and it just seems so incredibly dense and sloggy right now, you know.
Oh, it really does at times. It's just amazing, isn't it? And things with all these, the astrological stuff going on and the political things going on and stuff, sometimes it seems that the, what is it, that so many things kind of come apart, or the schedules don't work, or the, you know, I've experienced a whole lot of really funky plane trip, car rental things just not working, you know?
Yeah, and I think when somebody's got such a big vision, you know, such
right.
a huge vision, he's a visionary, you know, and he just, you know, he came in here with this, you know, just so much to do, and, you know, it seems like everything's in his way, and it's, you know, it's difficult to coach him sometimes, because I know what he's destined for, and yet if he pushes it from the standpoint of his mind and from his emotions, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to be able to achieve it. So it's kind of interesting to
learn how to step away from our emotions in the thick of them. That is a huge gargantuan leap, isn't it?
Yeah, well, my favorite thing to say, which is a great little tip for anyone who says it's such an overwhelming emotional body, is to just, in the moment when you're having an emotion and it seems so overwhelming, you just step outside by saying, I'm emoting.
Oh.
You'd be surprised at how effective that is.
So that's actually just observing, seeing it instead of being it.
Yeah. Yeah, you step outside because you're not your emotions.
Isn't that amazing? Well, that's a wonderful tip. Thank you so much. And it's really good to hear from you. And you're absolutely right that it's so eclipsing when a person who has a big, big journey, and I think all of us do to a degree these days, eh? But that means we have a big shadow too, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Well, I think that, I don't know about that. You know, see, this is really interesting because if you say that because you have a big journey, it has to be balanced by a big shadow. I'm not sure.
I just think it's natural, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know if it's a shadow. I think sometimes even defining it as a shadow. Now, you know, I've put a lot of thought into this, but you know, sometimes even the definitions are the things that sort of make something what it is.
Oh, you mean it can freeze it?
Yeah, it can make it bigger than it is, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
that's a good point. I'll think about that.
Speaking of which, I was wondering if you had like an idea. I had a couple things that happened to me. One thing,
I only have 1 minute, Aaliyah, so give it a fast shot.
Oh, okay. A couple things. All right, well, one of these things was I'm half asleep, and I, half asleep in bed, and I felt this energy beam come into my heart and shatter.
Oh, my.
It was a visual image. It just came in, and it went boom, and then it just like 1,000 pieces. I'm not sure if it shattered the heart or what's around it. It's interesting.
I think it shattered a shell.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
No,
did you
it didn't feel
horrible
like
after
thing.
Or did you feel different? It seems like you were different after.
I think so. I had another experience where I had a sound in my right ear. It sounded like a metallic thing falling off a shelf. Hmm. And I woke up and I knew it wasn't outside, it was in my ear. Hmm. And then I knew what was going to happen next. I was half asleep again, or I'm dropping off to sleep on the left ear, same thing on the left ear. And I got a little scared, but halfway asleep again, and then I heard a 3-tone musical chord. And like, okay, so, and then I got the message, clearing clairaudience.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't, except that I see you, it's almost like you're tuning into some changes that are happening on a different level or different dimension. You're tuning up. Tuning up, girl. That's what it looks like. And you'll like it. It's a lot of fun. Now, I have to go, so keep in touch, and we'll maybe talk next week.
Oh, Veronica, contact me. I may have some place to put your video.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
All
right. And I'm very excited about your video thing, and I have been for as long as you've been talking about it. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
But I do have a way to distribute it.
Excellent. Yes, because it's a long process, but I'm doing it. All right. Thank you, Aaliyah. I better say goodbye before they hook us off stage.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye. Goodbye. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, reach up, bring in some universal frequencies, call in from your guides and angels and from the universe and from source energy, some wonderful love. Breathe it in. And breathe it out to one another in the Radiance by Design community. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, Tuesday night on Paradigm Shifters, 8 o'clock, we have Lynn McTaggart of the field of the intentional experiment, and her latest is on bonding or the bond. So hang on to the top of the hour, and we get to meet Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness with her wonderful and beloved team. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. If you want to email me, it's Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. I'd love to hear from you. Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Good night. Many blessings. Hang in if you can to the top of the hour.